Peter, for those of you just coming in, we're talking about Peter, looking at the book of 1 Peter. And we're talking about Peter and the city of Joppa being called after his vision to not call anything unclean that God had called clean. And then Cornelius, a centurion, had called him to come to his house. And he had a bunch of people in the house. And these are all Gentile people. You know, you're called to, I mean, you're not supposed to eat with these people or meet with these people. And all of a sudden, he goes down there, says, there's three guys going to come here and get you and take you someplace, go with them. So by then, Peter was used to hearing the Lord and going where he told him to go. And so he went, and he preached to this bunch. He started to preach to them, and about five sentences into his preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on this room full of Gentiles, people who had not from Moses, not from Abraham. They don't even know. They don't even know. All they know is they've heard that there is a God who is good. That's all they know. They're not religious people. Though they're religious in the sense that they have gods that they have to please. You know, you can have your own gods that you feel like you have to please. You know, even if you're not a Christian, even if you're not a Jew, you're going to have a God somewhere that you have to please. You're going to have a God that you have to please so that you'll be able to get by in this world and get the things that you need. You're going to please somebody. Not you people. You people love Jesus. But people need to serve somebody. You're built that way. You're built. You think you don't serve somebody. You absolutely do. The Bible says it. Says you're going to serve somebody. So Peter goes in there and he about five sentences in, the Holy Ghost falls on that crowd. How did he know? Because he fell on them as on us at the first. What was that? Well, they prayed in other tongues. Well, it doesn't say that. And I can't remember. Does it say that? In Acts 10. And he fell on them when he was reporting this story. He says he fell on them as on us at the first. So the Holy Ghost fell just like that. They're praying in other tongues. And it was just apparent to Peter that how can we refuse those whom God has called clean to call them unclean? So this is Peter. Peter continued to preach to the Jews and preach in the synagogues. This is the first letter of Peter. You'd think, you know, well, Peter being the first guy, he ought to have more books, right? Yeah. Pastor Jim's got more books than I do. Maybe I'm not a book guy. Who knows? Maybe Paul was a book guy. Paul was educated, a writer. You know, Peter was a fisherman. You know, he probably didn't do much writing. But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You may not be a writer. You may not have one talent or another talent, but you have other talents. I got one son who's an electrician, a good one. And he's fixing to be made the head guy over finishing off one project over here in Grapevine, a four-story building with a parking garage, a whole 9 yards. And his boss is going to say, okay, I'm going to leave you here. You're going to finish. Sounds like Jesus to the disciples. I'm going to leave you here to finish. I'm cutting out. I'm getting out of here. So the guy is, so he'll be made the foreman and the supervisor for the finishing up this job, and they might even build another building next door to it. So, and he said, no, I'm setting you up. I'm telling them I want you to be the guy. So, hallelujah. How many know you're the guy? You know, you're the guy. Jesus is when Jesus left, he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations. Teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. So Peter, in his first little book here, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout, this is 1 Peter, to the strangers, aliens, not Jews, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and Asia, and Bithynia. Now, if you'll picture, anybody ever picture the nation of Turkey in your geography? This is like Pontus was at the top, of this is all kind of on the western side of what's called the peninsula. It sticks out between the Aegean Sea and the Black Sea on the north. Okay, and so that is where it sticks out to the left. And if you're looking at that, then Pontus, Bithynia is south of that. Asia is a little bit southwest. Galatia is kind of right in the middle. For some reason, he skipped them. And then Bithynia is, and Cappadocia is off to the left on the coast, I believe. You can look at your map. Look at the maps in the back of your Bible, you'll find it. So that's the north and western portions of Asia Minor, which is now the nation of Turkey. So he's preaching to these people, and that's where Galatia is also in that area. So in other words, if you're looking for where... And Ephesus, as a city, is almost on the Aegean coast, but it's not quite on the coast. I guess it's kind of like Houston. It's close to the coast, but not right on the water. That's where Ephesus is. So Galatia is an area. I'm talking about the books of Galatia and then Ephesians. All right? So just so you kind of have a mental kind of picture of where these places are. So Peter begins by saying to the strangers scattered throughout these nations, and these are nations, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. These guys are chosen. Elect is chosen. According to the foreknowledge of God, God knew beforehand that they were going to receive Jesus. The foreknowledge of God is not you're saved, you're not, you're saved, you're not, you're saved, you're not. Foreknowledge of God is that God knew who was going to receive His gospel. He knew who was going to receive Him. He could use Pharaoh because He knew Pharaoh was never going to turn to God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And we can read, we'll read a little bit more about that. It's in Ephesians, and also it's in Romans, the latter part of Romans chapter 8, that this election and predestination and what it is. There's a lot of teaching on that in various different ways, and this is what we believe, is that foreknowledge of God and predestination has to do with what God knew ahead of time about you, not that He had picked one over another. Because He says, that all may be saved.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
So again, verse 2, elect to the strangers who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. So He's talking to the elect. He's talking to those who know Jesus Christ by faith and have the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Living on the inside of them. Through sanctification of the Spirit. Oh, man. Not sanctification of your good ability, but sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit comes in. He sanctifies you. I mean, it's like having a bath on the inside. Amen? You're just enjoying the presence of God every single day. What the devil wants you to do is look in the mirror and see your sins every day. What God wants you to do is look on the inside and see His grace and His mercy always flowing over you and always demonstrating Himself mighty on the inside of you. You don't have to fix yourself. He fixes you on the inside. Amen? And as long as you're looking at you, He can't do that. Because all of a sudden, all your effort is working on you. And He doesn't want your effort on you. He wants your effort to be nothing. He wants you to have no effort. Jesus said, "Come unto me, you that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my burden and my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Somebody wants to see a light burden. And they can look at you and see that though you have a lot going on, your burden is light. Amen.
Amen.
You're a testimony. You are the light of the world.
Good.
You are the salt of the earth.
Amen.
That's who you are. It doesn't say be that. Come on, be it. You, be salt. Okay. Salt is not a work. Salt is an existence. Amen?
Amen.
Light is an existence. You are existing as light. You become God. Because God is on the inside of you, you become light. Amen. Enjoy this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Through sanctification of the Spirit, to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you. Grace. Yeah, grace. Grace to you. And peace multiplied. Just Dan, you know, grace to you. Peace. Tom. Melissa.
Hallelujah.
Will. Kathy. Now I got to say everybody, right? Joe. Sam. Roe. Cynthia.
Miss
Janet. Janet. Alex. Jack. Lynn. Brazos. I'm getting to the kids. Old people first. Then they don't last as long. Judah. Did I miss anybody? Karen. Did I say Karen twice? Oh, praise the Lord. And grace and peace to you be multiplied.
And you too,
David. I'm sorry? And to me, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Grace and peace to you be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I've got a living hope.
Hallelujah.
I've got a living hope pouring out of me.
Amen.
Amen. I have a living hope. It's not a dead hope. It's not like, oh, God, well, I read this one day and, you know, I hope it's true. No. I'm always convinced. Every day I'm convinced Jesus is coming.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. He's living on the inside of me. I'm peaceful. I'm restful. Do things come? Oh, my gosh, boy, what was that? That was a big wind. That blew hard. I almost fell over. But it's okay because He's making me to stand. Amen?
Amen.
You shall stand because He's able to make you to stand. Hallelujah. I'm standing. His abundant mercy has begotten to us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The fact that Jesus rose from the dead, I will too. Amen. He's coming for me.
Amen.
And to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It's reserved in heaven for me. I love that. God's already made provision for me. Amen? He has. An incorruptible, undefiled, it'll never fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When Jesus comes, you'll see it all. Right now, you don't see it all. In fact, He's going to say that right now. Wherein you greatly rejoice in the promise. You greatly rejoice in the promise. This promise we just read, right? Are we rejoicing? Hallelujah! Yes, yes. He is coming. He has already redeemed me. I'm going to live eternally with Him in the presence of God. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through many temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, the trial of your faith is precious. Being much more precious than gold which perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So the trial of my faith is a blessing, isn't it? Amen? Because it makes it more powerful. The trial of my faith makes it more powerful. Though it be tried by fire, might be found to praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can you do that? We never saw the guy. Because he lives in me. He is in me. His joy fills me. His peace fills me. Well, I don't see him. I didn't see him. He didn't, you know, show up, you know, or, you know, how can you believe in a God you can't see? It's because he comes and lives on the inside of you and manifests himself to you. And this has been going on for 2,000 years. God doesn't leave his gospel to men. God brings his gospel from generation to generation to generation by his word and by his spirit. There were hundreds and hundreds of years when the Bible was chained to that post and the only person who could see it was a priest who was debauched. How did God bring the word of God to me? How did he do that? He had a hidden agenda. He had hidden saints who loved him, who read the script, who meditated upon the scriptures, who taught one another through the scriptures. And he brought along the gospel of the kingdom to you.
Glory to God.
How did Sam hear about the gospel? Oh, some brother. Some guy who nobody ever heard of led him to the Lord. I don't know your story, but you know. Who knows? Who knows? But God somehow reached to you. Maybe he gave you a dad who loved Jesus. Maybe you were in prison. Somebody came and preached to you. I don't know. Maybe he gave you a pastor who met the Lord. When Jim came to the church, he didn't even know God. We didn't know any better. We didn't know God either. We were just kids. We were 12 years old. We were already in the class. You know, 12 years old, goofing off, throwing spit wads. You know, in the that's what you do in the, I said in Constitution class. No, in Confirmation class. Anybody here Catholic or yeah, right, you know.
Yeah,
Confirmation, Catechism. We had to call it something different. We couldn't be Catholic. We had to call it something else. So you did that. You went through that class. Well, I was in the middle of the class. Like, it's 2 years. Yeah. I was in the middle of the class. And all of a sudden, Jim started teaching different. I can't tell you what was different about it. But he came in and started teaching. He started teaching different. He gave us different books to read that were books about people dying for the faith. Like Nikki Cruz up in New York, you know, and you know, God's Smuggler, you know, taking Bibles into the behind the Iron Curtain. Yeah, what's the Iron Curtain? In places where you couldn't take Bibles, they'd kill you in Eastern Europe, and teaching us about how God loved us and how God forgave our sins. And it's about having a real relationship with a real God. I mean, you know, you're supposed to learn the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Apostles' Creed, you know. So you're supposed to learn these things, you know. And then we'll give you your first communion, and you'll be a member of the church, and just remember when you start making money to give your tithe. We'll send you a box of envelopes. And they did. They would send you a box of envelopes every year, and you would. That's how you would. We might do that. We might start doing that. I don't think I ever... Yeah. I don't think I ever thought, Jim, should we do that?
Printed with the address on it.
Yeah, pre-printed with the address on it. Your name on it and how much you're supposed to give. There's your 10%. And they knew how to run a church back in those days. Praise the Lord. But all of that is that, you know, I had somebody to teach me. I had somebody to teach me. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Whom having not seen you love... In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. So the prophets, they had this going on, this prophetic word that was going on. You know, and God sent Jim to give a prophetic word. 1969, he showed up at the church. Y'all knew. Y'all were there at the celebration we had a couple years ago. 1971, he was born again. And God began to teach him out of the Word of God. He began to teach him. And continued to teach him until he went home and knew everything. He went home the other day and knew everything. Oh, that? You know, when you come into the presence of Jesus, it's going to be like, oh, it's that? you thought it was one thing, but it's bigger. Amen. Anything you thought. Amen. Anything you thought. Amen. You had a handle on it. Amen. You don't. And I'm grateful. I know one thing. Is whatever it is, whatever God's got in heaven, it is so much bigger than I can even comprehend, ask, or think. This place is falling apart. You know, even with iPhones and you know, everything we got, you know, it's falling apart. This place is totally falling apart. They're trying to fix up this hotel. You notice that? Yeah. They're trying to fix this place up. But it's falling apart, all because of sin. But I tell you what, in the presence of Him, everything's
glory.
You know, I don't even think they have to have people cleaning it up. Do you? I don't think they even have to have people clean. They don't have people cleaning things up in heaven. It's so holy, it just cleans itself. There's no dirt. You want to pass that? It's weird. Well, it may be weird. But it's anything in heaven is going to be weird to you because it's not going to be any like anything you've ever known or seen. Amen? Hallelujah. So these prophets here, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. And if we read over in Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about holy men of old, you know, wrote of these things. Searching, they were searching, or what manner of time that the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Then it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. The Old Testament prophesied, Isaiah 53, prophesied of the sufferings of Jesus Christ and the glory that should follow. To whom it was revealed that not to themselves they found out, not to themselves, but to us. Is what their message was to. To us did they minister the things which are now reported to you by them that have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. If the angels didn't quite have the whole plan. God, what are we doing? What? You want us to do what? He would just give them one assignment. Go down and tell this woman this. Oh, she's going to have a baby. Okay. Tell that guy his prayers are answered. You know, Zacharias. And he quit praying years ago. You know, he's an old guy. You know, old codger. You know, he didn't really think he was going to have. Oh, I guess God didn't want me having any kids. Then you know, hey, your prayers have been answered. What?
What prayer?
What prayer? What prayer? It said you're going to have a son. No. And then of course he makes him dumb for you know until the baby comes, just so he won't mess it up. You know you can mess things up with your mouth? Amen. Hallelujah. So we just keep that guy quiet. So the angels are desiring to look into these things, but they only have a piece of it. You know the angels only have a piece of it. They only have what God gave them. We only have what God gave us. He's coming again. This Jesus, whom you've seen go, will come again in like manner as you have seen Him go. Verse 13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember over in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, gird up your loins with truth.
Amen.
Over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, be you not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Gird up the loins of your mind. How do you do that? With the Word?
Yeah.
With the promises? Gird up the loins of your mind. Because otherwise your mind will be girded up with something else.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be weak. Why does He have you gird up your loins? That's where your strength is. That's how you stand with your spear. You stand. having done all to stand, stand therefore. Well, if your loins aren't girded, if you're not girded with truth, if you don't, if that's where your strength is, you need the Word of God to become your strength, don't you? Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let your mind go just wander off somewhere.
Amen.
Amen. Fill it up. Fill it up with God's promises, with His Word. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation, that is the day of the Lord, at the when Jesus Christ comes, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, the particular revelation here is talking about a future event when Jesus is coming. Of course, you're always going to have a revelation in His Word, but this specific thing is talking about it. That and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. You have a great expectation that at the revelation of Jesus Christ, that the end of your hope is going to be seen, the goal, the finished product. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as He which has called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. How are we doing? Because it is written, be you holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Constantly just being in the presence of the Lord. Obedience is not for God to feel good about you. Obedience is not about you pleasing God. Obedience is about you receiving the fullness of the promise that He has already given to you. That's what obedience is. Obedience is not a work that God rewards. Obedience is a blessing to you. Amen? So you're not trying. So it's not about, okay, obey God and do this, and that way God will be happy with you and He might bless you. No, absolutely not. Obedience is just,
hallelujah,
eat the bologna before the date expires. What would happen if you ate the bologna after the date expires? What usually can happen?
Get sick.
Well, you think you'll get sick. Obedience is not about, and it's so hard because we're so used to thinking like that, that God is on your case to perform. Obedience is just an opportunity to believe God for His promise. Obedience is the opportunity to believe God for His promise. Do y'all have bologna in your fridge?
We're just talking.
You have it. See, pastors see these things going on. Did you throw that bologna out? Amen. See, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance. Not fashioning yourselves. Obedience, not fashioning yourselves after the world. Again, Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove. So what happens is, you begin to demonstrate the will of God with His Word on the inside of you. Begin to transform and be changed, and you become brighter light, stronger salt. Whoa! You only needed just a little bit of that salt on that. Because it is written, as He who has just called you is holy, so be holy. No big deal. Holiness is not an effort. Holiness is a gift. Holiness is not an effort. Holiness is a gift because you are in Him and He is in you. And obedience is also a gift of God. Father, I want to be obedient. I want to be obedient because then I receive, if you'd be willing and obedient, then you receive the promises. That's a promise by itself, isn't it? It says if you'd be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. If you'd be stupid and disobedient and unwilling, you'll eat the dirt like the kid in the pig pen. Amen. Amen. I don't want to eat the pig pen. Don't find out the hard way. Don't find out the hard way. Let's just worship God. Let's just get into His Word. Let's receive His promises. Let's walk in Him. That's what Peter's saying. Behold, walk in the presence of God. Walk in holiness. Not to please God, but God's certainly pleased when you're blessed. I mean, the dad of the prodigal son was looking for him every day. He was watching, standing out in the Texas heat, waiting for that kid to come home. And all of a sudden, whoa, there he is. What? No, that was an antelope. No, he sees the kid coming. All of a sudden, he starts giving commands. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. He's coming. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers. Careful. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God.
Glory.
Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So that's us. By Him we believe in God that raised up the dead. And we have purified our souls in obeying the truth. See, there we go. Purified your soul. You purified your what?
Soul.
Your soul needs purify. Your soul needs purify. The Word of God will do that. It'll scrub you. The Word of God will scrub you. David told me we got an air scrubber over in Fort Worth. You know, we're going to scrub the air. Had a guy the other day in a church that I was down ministering somewhere down in Corpus Christi. They got five scrubbers. Five air scrubbers. Just thought you should know. Tom, it cuts the coronavirus in half, the molecule.
I don't believe
it. It's on television. It's on the internet. They tell you that. Cuts that virus right in half. Kills it dead. Well, God does it. He destroys corona sin. He destroys sin. You know God will destroy your sin? He already did it on the cross with Jesus. It has no right to live on the inside of you. You see sin coming up? Say, no. That doesn't belong to me. And I don't belong to Him. I don't belong to sin. I don't belong to sin. I don't belong to sin. Here comes the sin. I'm fixing to do it. I'm fixing to. Jesus, you better help me. No, He said sin doesn't belong. You don't belong to sin. I've overcome a lot of sin by just having to not believe that sin doesn't have rule and authority over me. It doesn't have authority. And sometimes it seems to still have it for a while. But it's just a miracle of God that He just takes it away from you. He just removes it. Janet doesn't like this part of the message. I don't know where she went. I'm kidding. No, it's her favorite message. Is she here? Can I talk to her? Talk about, no. Praise the Lord. She doesn't like it when I talk about it in the message. Seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned, unfaked, non-hypocritical love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And here's Isaiah 40, quoted here by Peter. For all the flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades. But the word of our Lord,
hallelujah,
endures forever.
Hallelujah.
And this is the word by which the gospel is preached to you. Do I need to repeat what I said about
Hallelujah.
Janet?
Hallelujah.
She just came back.
Amen.
I said she didn't like it when I preach about her.
Praise the Lord.
But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. The gospel preaches the word to you. Amen?
Hallelujah.
How good. Peter's very simple. Just preaching the gospel. Yeah, that's all you need. It's all you need. It's good to have wisdom and understanding. Knowing that the wisdom of this world in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 cannot even fathom the wisdom of God. It's foolishness to them because they don't have a spiritual understanding or connection. They don't know who this is. But you can tell them. You can tell them. You have the gospel on the inside of you. Amen? You know, that's why we're what we've been taught for 40 years. Some of us. Is that the gospel of God is not about what you do. It's about what you believe. And that God does the work.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Are you free? Are you set free by that?
Totally.
How God does the work?
Thank you,
Father. You know, you're not even... God's not depend. I mean, you know, God doesn't depend on you.
Wow.
Yeah, God's depending on me. I know He's the pressure's on. He's not depending on you. He just uses you, and He loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God.